Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. Sex Talk. What did I say? Sex Top? I'm your host, DJ Lift and Separate. And tonight we have a very, very special episode for you. We have a team of breakthrough artists, professionals, and sexual technologists.
More than a team, a collective, really.
Who are going to talk about not only spousal dildotronics? I forget the exact term. As well as the
I mean, it's hard not to talk to
the
them.
More important question is, do you take off more clothes as the show goes on? Or is
no, I don't take off more clothes. You must be thinking of DJ Lift and Separate.
Oh, Lift and, I mean,
you said Corey, you're referring to DJ Lift and Separate.
I'm the person in the booth is named Corey. Sorry.
Well, I've had a very devastating personal injury that may require me to...
Well, we should interest them. They are the Institute for Applied Autonomy, and... they can introduce themselves.
I'm Lance.
Lance,
and that's Lance.
You can see I approach the show with some trepidation because, you know, discussion about me is confusing enough given my ambiguous sexuality on the show that now three other people might answer the questions directed to me.
But we are not ambiguous in our sexuality. We're staunchly opposed.
Is that an artistic statement?
Do you find anything artistic about it? It's a political statement.
I don't know.
It's really a moral statement.
You're the artist. Like, I have to defer to your judgment.
How dare you? I heard the word professional flaunted before.
Can you hear him?
Okay. No, you can't hear a thing I'm saying, right?
You have to, like, be focused on the microphone.
Okay, now
make love to the microphone as I do.
I mean, but not with any actual physical body.
Right, but I'm, like, less far than you are, so I think it's a personal thing.
But I project.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the important thing is not how far you are. It's it's maintaining a constant distance because there are individual adjustments.
So this is the quality thing to be doing.
Yeah. Your head is bobbing like a cheap Liberty Avenue whore, basically.
So you recognize me from my old career. That's good. Thanks, man.
I thought you're familiar from the sort of neck down. I don't know what I meant. Neck
down.
It would really be the top of his hair, right? But so on to the art. So most of our listeners are
when you hit like 300, you know, you're an all-star, right? I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like every joke that I make is gonna.
Oh, I thought that was a weight comment.
Please, can we just proceed with the agenda? I'm injured. You know, my body.
You know, DJ Lift and Separate. I think your position as the Ted Williams of WRCT's sex talk show hosts is in no danger.
Ted Williams,
the last man to bat 400 in the major leagues. Mm.
I thought this first show was over.
Still going. Okay. Maybe, but the feel of it still,
still lingers in the field.
So, our listeners are so concerned with sex that I'm not clear they would know what either of the words robotic or art really mean.
Yeah.
So, I was wondering if you guys could give an example of the sort of things that.
So what we do? We've got this robot that writes graffiti. On the ground?
Sexual graffiti.
Sexual graffiti. Yes. Pornographic haiku.
Are you serious? I mean, okay.
It's certainly okay.
Just go on.
But it certainly could.
Yeah, I mean, that could alter the very face of technology.
And the pavement as well. That's true. So we have this one robot that writes pornographic graffiti on the pavement. Then we have this other robot that hands out pornographic literature on the corner,
mostly to children and old people.
Yeah, that's who's been the most.
Yeah, for legal purposes, do you have some sort of age discrimination circuit?
So yeah, we discriminate widely.
It knows not to give pornography to 8-year-olds.
Oh, no, I thought that was the idea.
Right. We tend to avoid the sort of 25 to 40 crowd.
Yeah,
they've got enough porn.
Lost cause.
And in fact, I think you had a. Well, we'll save that. Right. Okay.
Well, some people, despite being, I'm in the 25 to 40 age group, and sometimes I feel that I can't get enough porn.
Is that right? Yeah. You feel like there's maybe you've reached a limit as to how much porn you're likely to find.
Well, I don't. I mean,
it's not a quantity issue per se. I mean, we talked about this, Lance, in our JO sessions, but more the novelty issue. I mean,
well, that's huge. Yeah, I got a friend who worked at the National AIDS hotline number, the phone number. She worked there for about, I think, a year and a half, and her biggest complaint when she quit was that people really don't have any imagination. She would get, you know, literally thousands of calls, and everyone was doing basically the same 3-4 things.
Which are?
Well, I mean, there's missionary, and then there's Yeah, doggy style, and maybe like one other's knows about
it.
Wait,
this is the hotline for the National AIDS
Foundation. People calling
in to ask for advice on sexual positions.
Well, it would come up in conversations. Okay. You could well
probably
imagine.
I mean, you obviously, like, imagine. I mean, obviously, it would come up in, like, if you're wondering how to do safe sex, right? I mean,
right.
And they're wondering, well, you know, if I can't, like, shoot my spooge inside someone's, like, you know, orifice, how can I have a satisfying sexual experience? And some people find that question, like, powerfully challenging when, in fact, for example, you know, I want to have sex in that little blue room that's, like, dug into the cut. Not the blue room, but I'm not pointing at it.
Oh, the art that's
the
on
art
the cut?
Piece in the cut.
With the plexiglass covering on top of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I think everyone's been thinking about that.
Really? I mean, I don't know if I want to have sex on the blue side or the white side.
Well, maybe. I mean, I think the bigger question is, I'm not sure that your semen are actually going to be able to enter the room. You may have to settle with it just landing on top of the plexiglass.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Wow, you know, I would like to issue a challenge to, like, one of the fraternities to see if they can actually cover the entire surface of that thing with their semen. I mean, wouldn't that be great? I mean, they're already doing that, like, you know, eat the biscuit thing. Like,
a Milky Biscuit, yep.
So, oh, yeah, what?
What's
oh, don't be quiet. This is the fraternity hazing ritual where they all stand in a circle, they all masturbate onto a biscuit or cracker or whatever, and then the last person to come, or even if they don't come, I suppose they're still obligated, has to eat the biscuit.
Yeah. Okay. You can easily transport that into an art setting, right? I mean, and use the, instead of biscuit, replace that with giant plexiglass shield covering underground room on the cut.
Yeah.
Although, eating it would
be different.
Maybe roll around in. I don't know. We could have competing nights. Like, we could have one Friday assigned to Friday and another Friday assigned to Saturday. And then
it would become a senior tradition, like the fence.
Like the fence, yeah. Okay. Between midnight and 3 a.m.
Yeah, perhaps you could build some sort of robot to do it.
Hmm. Clever segue back to the topic at hand.
So the thing that most excites us about you being here.
Look, they're excited. We haven't done anything yet. Yeah.
Is that we often speculate aimlessly about the future of human-machine interaction, right? Especially human-machine sexual interaction, right?
Yeah.
And so we now, I think, have some true visionaries here. And so it'd be nice to get what you guys see as the future of, well, teledildonics, I guess.
Yeah, there's that word again.
Yeah,
that's really important.
If RSI
said East guess, I don't know.
If RSI is any indicator of what the future of human computer interaction has to hold for me, I'm just going to avoid any further contact.
I mean, you think there should be a whole genre of S&M built around RSI then?
That's true. I have nothing to say to that.
If teledildonics is the wrong word, you guys give us the right word.
See, the issue is not so much that people are going to want to have sex with machines.
Yeah.
Because there's already enough people out there having sex like their machines, right? I think the issue is how we can use technology to augment the human-to-human interaction involved in the sexual relation, right? So it's not about replacing the human participants, but rather enhancing their capabities.
These
not mediating.
These acoustic pals, like $500. Stop. Should I stop picking that? I'm serious.
Sorry.
I don't mean to disrupt the flow of the show.
Okay, so Mom. But anyways.
Lance, go on.
I don't know if they're like $500, but they're expensive, right? I mean, back me up here.
No, you're right.
Yeah, yes,
I apologize.
No, we're way off course.
But
I do wonder what sexual desire you're sublimating by picking at the tile. I mean, is it?
Well, see, so if you want to talk about sublimation, I mean, the great irony is that I'm right now passing up an opportunity to actually be out having sex in order to sit here and talk to you guys about
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, why didn't you bring him or her along?
Well, yeah, we discussed this, and because I haven't been here before, I didn't know sort of. It didn't seem appropriate somehow. Oh. So the issue is really trying to understand, like, if you look at you know, the way people have sex and, like, sort of the kinds of problems and challenges they face, right? Particularly, you know, if we want to focus on something like sort of long-term monogamous relationship, which, of course, we're deeply, deeply committed to.
Of course.
Then we have to start imagining what the challenges are to those relationships and why is it that, you know, long-term relationships stop having sex at what point? And, like, you know, how can we combat those forces with technology?
How can we combat these larger sort of cultural, social norms that are sort of forced upon us, like like the baggage of the sort of monogamous Christian relationship. So we started thinking about technologies that might help to enhance or augment these scenarios, rather than actually mediating the sex act as teledildonics. I would assume would.
Dildonics.
I'm not sure anyone
throwing
really
that word around.
I'm not sure anyone really knows what would happen.
Yeah.
Dildo is in there, but
something.
That I don't know.
Yeah. Phone. So we, this is one of these vaporware projects that we're designing here at the Institute.
Well, we're looking for funding. I mean, it's not completely vaporware. We think we know how to do it, and if anyone out there has a big chunk of change, we'd be interested in pursuing that.
Certainly, I think the market would support it.
Oh, clearly.
Were the technology to actually exist. So what we're talking about here is a spousal plug-in. This is a unit that you get for your spouse, which enables... okay, so basically what we're talking about here is sort of a unit. You can imagine a LCD screen, a computer screen that you can affix onto your partner's head so that, well, not only can you, could you, you know, obviously immediately sort of simulate the sex act with, you know, any one of your choosing, but you could also sort of network these units.
So actually, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but in the case of someone like where you're simulating James Van Der Beek, where his head is substantially larger than an average human head, would there be an inflation kind of...
This is a problem. You're absolutely right.
Well, it's no different than any other resolution, monitor resolution problem.
But I think having sex with 90% of James Van Der Beek's head is still much more than 90%.
That's right. I mean, we have looked at the Dreyfus charts, and we have an idea of, like, sort of what the 51st percentile man would be. I'm talking right into it, so I don't know what to tell you about that.
Okay.
It's okay. So you're right. I mean, there will be, like, something like 1% to 2% of the population who is not really well represented on the system, mm-hmm. but I think that's a fair trade, and that's pretty much standard.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt you, but proceed. Can you actually get liquid crystal displays that you can actually wrap around someone's head now?
Do you think it's important to actually have it wrap around? And
flip them over and, you know, take them up the back door. I mean, one.
Well, you can actually just spin
the
unit around.
Then, right? One for the front, one for the back, and you'll say.
Yeah, it's really... we think low-tech is probably the best solution. You know, and so there's visual. There's also sort of, the audio plug-in as well. Because it may be that after, like, 15, 20 years with the same person, you find that the kinds of audio feedback you get during the sex act are either not satisfying or simply passive. So you could perhaps replace them with sounds of other people, you know, simply... other life forms, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're...
Perhaps a soothing ocean waves.
might be nice, yeah.
But this isn't really about just replacing them with, you know, your favorite Hollywood star something. This is more about the social environment where these units can actually be networked with each other. So you can participate in these sort of non-Christian acts as wife swapping or orgies or whatever, these things that people, you know, sort of fantasize about, mm-hmm. While still maintaining, you know, your rigid monogamous relationship. And so we could see clubs where people would bring their units with them, or maybe even rent them at the door, where, you know, you just go in and you plug in. And maybe there's some sort of random search machine that just sort of matches you based on, you know, whatever characteristics.
Well, I see a pitfall here, and I'd like your opinion on this, right? So instead of using these screens to project the faces of other people or whatever part of other people you wanted to look at while you're having sex, what if, let's say, the bored man projects the football game or copy of the Wall Street Journal?
You're absolutely right.
Stock quotes, web browser.
Yeah, obviously that will happen anyway. You know, before you know it, you know, the email windows will be popping up. People will learn how to quit out of them pretty quickly.
I don't know. It could produce a more efficient workforce.
I don't see this problematic at all, because you're absolutely right. I mean, if you can be sitting there working on spreadsheets while, you know, satisfying your marital obligation, that's great. That's a win-win kind of situation.
I have to concur. It sounds like a user interface breakthrough, actually.
Yeah.
Do you have plugins for other part of the body or just the face?
Well, I mean, you know, the phrase plug-in does imply that. We have talk. I mean, because they're, you know...
It's an open architecture, right?
Yeah. But we'd have to have you sign an NDA, whatever that form is.
A non-disclosure agreement.
Thank you. Yeah, before we...
This whole show is a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, we set that. Okay, fine.
The stuff that meant, the stuff that's mentioned on the show doesn't leave this room.
Nobody listens.
I was gonna say, I mean, it's pretty much.
By the way, if you are listening by some eerie coincidence, the phone number to call us and discuss your own experiences is 621-9728. If you're on campus and too weak to type all seven digits, dial 8-WRCT. That's 89728.
Type all that with one hand, really.
True. Yeah. So, have you seen other people, the work of other competing visionary robotic art collectives that bears on the issue of, you know, mediation of sex between human beings?
Well, I don't think we could really talk about this subject without talking about the work of the Center for Metahuman Exploration. Maybe people on campus haven't seen this piece. It's been around and about between the U.S. and points abroad for a few years now.
True. Our listeners in the four corners of the earth as far away as Uruguay and Malaysia, though, have undoubtedly not seen it.
Right. Well, right. So I guess what they had going was this system of mediated sex between people in phone booths, where you enter this phone booth, you pick up a phone, and there's a monitor there of this other person, a male or female, and what you find is with a keypad, you can sort of control this human arm that's in front of you to touch them and fondle them.
Wait, is it actually a human arm?
An actual human arm.
So there's a human behind the arm.
There is a human. You are the eyes and arm of this human figure, and you're able to fondle whatever the gender is of the other person, who happens to be in the other booth. See, there are two booths, and this is all going on between two actual real people. But you're able to engage in this mediated sexual encounter between the person in the other booth. So I guess there's really like four people, involved in the scenario.
I'm up to three. Who's the fourth?
The fourth is God. When are you going to repent?
Well, there's like two phone booths, and for each phone booth, there's a person that's in the booth. So we're still in two, and then each of those people are controlling another person.
Arm.
Yeah, they each have an arm.
Like a borrowed arm.
That's right.
Wow.
So
I mean, I can't believe that hasn't been commercialized.
But you would think.
Yeah.
So work with me here.
Yeah, it's complex.
Skin-tight latex suit with like 1,000 prehensile penises on it. Can you build that for me?
On the outside or on the inside?
Well, it could, maybe you could wear it either way.
That's true. It could be like Velcro.
Interesting.
So, wait, do we have the technology?
There actually is a German group that's got something like, I mean, it's much more limited,
really?
but they do have sort of networked tactile response garments.
Do they also have networked phallic actuators?
Well, because it's simply sensing pressure, you can use whatever the heck you want, I suppose, but they don't have one specially designed to be worn.
Oh, okay.
On that particular, but I think it's just a piece of latex you can wear.
I mean, I think more what DJ Lift and Separate has in mind is a suit that sort of any way somebody falls on you, they're going to get impaled on a penis, right?
Yeah. Well, but you want the sensation?
Being the selfish lover that I am, I think I want, most, if not all of them. Pleasure from this act. So yeah,
right. So they're still working on like the neural silicon interface, right?
Yeah,
that hasn't been perfected.
A few years out.
Yeah. So,
I guess, just running a bunch of electrodes to my penile anal complex, probably that wouldn't really be good enough. I guess, although it would be a good start.
We could try.
Get to a powerful enough battery.
I mean, there is a bottleneck, right? Which is that. So if, let's say you wanted to bring the sensations of, your dodecahedro penises all over your body, right? All that, in order to get a real analog sensation, that's all going to have to go through your real penis, right? And you only, you, Superman that you are, still only have one, right? So until you can actually plug into the, until you can actually get into the nerves that lead to the brain, right, and simulate, like, this nerve space of 1,000 penises, right?
But that's where drugs come in.
Exactly.
Right?
And also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think we have an important lesson to learn from the blind here, which is that, maybe you could map each of those penises to a slightly different area of my own penis.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, beautiful. See, I mean, this is like, there's this incredible brainstorming.
But I'm not sure, how is that different than having, like, your one single penis manipulated in an extremely complex manner?
Well, because my brain would have died.
No, no, I mean, I'm not criticizing complex penis manipulation. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying I think Corey's shooting for something.
DJ Lipton Separate.
Sorry, DJ Lipton Separate.
It's all falling apart.
Is shooting. Oh, no, this isn't all falling apart by the show standards, by any means. Is shooting for, I mean, he's really shooting for the stars, right? He really wants it all. He really wants. And I think every man does, right? He wants, you know, a whole body of penises.
Well, I think there's going to be a considerable learning curve. That's what we're going to be running into. And, you know, it's going to take some time and some practice.
True.
And maybe a second adolescence, perhaps. You know?
But the real dream is to have sensations piped right into your head so that, you know, you can have the virtual body, you know, of the, that, you know, 100 penis monster of Corinth,
well,
if you
that
want.
That might be your dream.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking, I think the, I really think the logical extension of this idea of, you know, media, like sort of augmenting your body. Well, maybe it's not the initial dream, but it does seem that you would be able to do things virtually if you could have access to the nerves that you since sort of are only simulating with actual sort of physical hardware. Right?
Yet again, I must stress the importance of drugs here. I mean, we are not technophiles, and we don't intend to reinvent the wheel here. And there are some very effective.
Chemicals.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not drugs that make you grow 100 penises, right?
No, but you might think you did.
Case in point.
Really?
I mean,
But I'm going to have to disagree with this whole sort of push towards virtual. I mean, you're right in the sense that if we focus exclusively on sort of, you know, the sensory experience in a very limited kind of way, then yeah, virtuality will get it. But I think so much more has to do with context, right? It's not simply the fact that you're having sex, but it's, you know, with who and where. And where is important. And so you're right. I mean, I guess there even we could do some kind of virtual thing where, you know, suddenly in the middle of a crowded subway or something like that. But I think there's something about the fact that it's really in the middle of a crowded subway or some other place that is part of the rush.
So how do you see technology feeding into and addressing that issue then in the future?
Well, yeah, I mean there's a number of sort of ways you could go about it. I mean I don't know, the idea of the crowded subway is great without any kind of additional technology, although some kind of personal defense system would probably be useful for the inevitable naysayers.
That can work against you too though.
Yeah, that's probably true.
DJ Elephant Separate, you look flummoxed almost.
I'm a little flummoxed. Have any of you actually had sex in a crowded subway, or is this
crowded? No, I haven't. Well, define crowded. Like,
well, define why you're making that distinction. Have you? Has
well,
there been
sex
in a subway involving you at all? Let's just.
I don't think I should answer that question.
Why?
I rode solo once, I think.
What does that mean?
I suspect yes, it does.
So, I mean, this doesn't have anything direct. I mean, actually, it is. I was going to say it doesn't have anything to do with art, but I think masturbating in a subway is perhaps the purest form of art. So, like, what were the circumstances?
Was it the Pittsburgh subway? Because that's impressive.
If you think it's impressive, I think it's actually really kind of sad because you've only got like one stop, which means
true.
You're talking about a 30-second rush. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know.
Well, no. It certainly wasn't the Pittsburgh subway by any means.
And this is the point where you're going to tell us a detailed, vivid story of this experience.
It really wasn't that interesting. You know.
I mean, it's the oldest story known to mankind, right?
Yeah. You know,
boy gets erection, boy masturbates, right?
Boy rides train.
Long train ride.
So,
cows.
See, I'm a little bit baffled by this because, right, you guys seem to be masters of two universes, right? You understand deeply the technology.
Pretty good.
And you really have something to say about art, right? I would think that would make you hot commodities with the ladies, as they say.
Would you?
Do you know any?
Callers?
What was that phone number again if people want to call in? And
I believe it was 621-9728.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, it's hard for your true impressiveness of your personas to come across on radio.
You're
in
effect
other words, the show is going nowhere quickly. That's great, man. Thanks.
No, I think you're all art hotties. I mean, I think, you know, James Vanderbeek and what's that Jackson kid's name? have nothing on you.
Michael Jackson?
No, the...
No idea what he's talking about.
The show, got, you know, get with it. Dawson's Creek, the
oh, there's
Katie
a, there's
Holmes,
a guy
James
Vanderbeek. Named Jeff Jackson.
Something is that the
Jackson?
Same guy with the big
oh,
head?
I don't know who that is.
No, Vanderbeek is the big head. The other guy, oh, we got to call him. Maybe they can
perhaps difficult.
Joshua yes, Jackson.
Any,
Joshua
Dawson Jackson. Creek's any Dawson's Creek fans, please call to enlighten us. 621-9728. So, no, wait. I mean, oh, your reaction yeah. seems to imply that you actually, that that the, you know, the fact that you're, you know, serious artistic contributors doesn't actually powerfully dominate your love life in a positive way.
Or any way. at all.
How is, I mean, so how is that possible? I mean, scientifically speaking, you know, in a mathematical sense, if you're not getting laid, who is?
Yeah, well, I've often asked myself this question.
I mean, the rest. I mean, everyone else in America.
Because I could tell you, my neighbors aren't either. Because I've looked.
Mm-hmm. Well, if technology doesn't have a solution to this problem, or, well, I guess the question should be turned around: does technology have a solution to this problem? You know, are you going to use your own tools to pretend I'm going somewhere with it and respond to it? That's this is like one of those pitches that goes totally off course. And
well, you really have to think about the meaning of the world, the word tool in this context, right?
Is it a commercial break or
no, we keep trying to get some. We keep trying to get like Wanda's House of Sex Toys to sponsor us, but it never ends up working out for us.
We've never had a guest actually leave before. But what's going out for a smoke or what's happening here?
Well, I mean, we'll never know. It could be an artistic statement.
Wow, it worked for me on multiple levels.
So, no, but back to this idea of art and dating. So, I mean, you guys must know artists who aren't involved with technology. Is it the fact that you're tainted with technology that it doesn't really go anywhere?
That could have something. I don't know. I mean, after however many years of art school that was, I don't really remember. Really? I was never able to really pinpoint what it was.
So, I mean, let me paint the following scenario. It's a big art opening. You guys have just designed a robot that rips up, you know, giant full body copies of Mr. Whipple from the those ads, right? It's been a smashing success. People are coming up to you after the robot rips up the copies of Mr. Whipple to compliment you on the art. The never
perfect time to talk about sex. No. It's the answer.
So I'm not interested in disrupting the creative flow here, but is this Mr. Whipple fantasy entirely fruit of your own brain, or do they actually have a Mr. Whipple robot? And if they don't, you know, why in God's name
why not?
Right? I mean, especially, I mean, who among us hasn't had the fantasy of finally deflowering Mr. Whipple? I mean, I think that's, you know...
That's the final fantasy.
The only downside is, indeed, once you would cross that line, there would be no frontier.
Your friendship with Mr. Whipple would never be the same.
That you had to go masturbate. Is that why? Wow. I mean, should I put on a little, like, subway conductor's outfit? Would that help sort of create the show?
Wrong artist. Oh.
Look, work, you know... Never shoot down one of my jokes. That's the primary rule on the show. All right. So I'm injured, and my body's like, there's endorphins flowing through my body, all kinds of, like, repair, you know, cells. I'm not myself. You know, I'm like...
Could you talk about
what specifically injury that we keep hearing so much about?
A lesser man would be in a trauma
could you build
war
some
right
sort
now
of robotic prosthesis to fix it?
Well, it depends. What do we got?
I don't know if this story's really good or not, but it was like I was walking back from Winners, which is a fabulous little Korean
local Pittsburgh eatery.
And I don't know. This is a really lame story.
Oh, we have a phone call, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Never let that seam sweat.
Hello, my fabulous caller. Welcome to the show. Did you have a question or comment to share with us?
I do. I think you'd need a little more female representation on your show.
What are you doing right now?
Yeah, how far away are you?
Wouldn't you like to know? Right now, I was supposed to be on a radio show, but I'm having sex.
Are you serious?
You seem awfully calm and composed for someone who's having sex.
She's giggling an awful lot.
Yeah. Listen, I think you guys are spending a lot of time talking about the physicality of the sex with some kind of technological twist, when actually I'm surprised all of you with your, you know, big math and science and tech backgrounds aren't talking about time and another dimension of experiencing.
I'm in hotel administration. I don't know any math.
Hotel administration? I should think that you would have the most expertise then in understanding time and sex.
Well, I think that's mostly about, you know, getting semen stains out of the sheets and dealing with people that trash the hotel. So let me ask.
Where is the romance?
Where is the romance? That's a question. Let me ask you, since we've got you here on the phone. I don't want to put you on the spot, but as a female.
Well, that's an assumption you're making.
I'm very empathic. I assume you're a female. What would you like to see, using your both your powerful female empathic abilities as well as your latent psychic abilities, what would you like to see as a technology breakthrough? Like, would you like a suit of 1,000 vaginas, for example?
No, you're going back to the physicality.
I'm not thinking outside the box
about time.
Here.
I'm talking about...
Your biggest complaint is that it doesn't last long enough?
You want... Or...
My biggest complaint is that none of you are addressing the fact that, you know, through technology maybe we can somehow warp the experience of time.
You want to have sex with dead people?
Who is that guy?
They're all named Lance.
I'm getting the impression. No, she wants an orgasm that seems, from her perspective, to last 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that would be back to the drugs issue.
Yeah.
I think you get that with Celexa, and I'm serious about that. You know, what?
Oh, sorry.
There's a hand signal over there.
Well, no, actually, I think, although we are sort of mocking the caller a little bit, I think she has an excellent point, which is, indeed, you know, this is an all-too-phallocentric point of view, which is like, you know, increase the sensations arriving at my penis, when in fact there are so many dimensions to sexuality. Where's the romance? Where are the emotions? Where's the, as you point out, you know, altering the sense of time, space, aroma.
Did you say aroma?
Yes. I was hoping yes, he did, Gar.
Wow. I happen to know that one of the people in your panel could speak to that.
See, now it's interesting that you should mention that. So because we've tried to get that panel member to go down.
Go down. I've tried to get him to go down, too, but...
Interesting. So tell us about your aroma experiences, Lance, too. Was this related to the...
Have you built some sort of automatic smell generation robot?
I don't even know who you're talking to at this point.
Just chime in.
We seem to have reached a stalemate.
Well, let's not be coy here. So what's this aroma story? I mean, obviously I sensed it telepathically, so this is a story that needs to be told. I think we were destined, this moment was destined to happen.
Caller, what did you have in mind?
I just, I know in particular that you have an expertise with the aroma side of things.
Have you been employed as some sort of perfume tester?
I'm aware of, I'm not sure.
Remember, expertise may be a strong word here. I don't know. I think you guys ought to go back to the time question.
Because this one's going nowhere.
Well, unfortunately, our time travel dilation and extension technology is frighteningly primitive.
I'm experiencing a little time dilation effects right now. But
there we did have a guest on who talked a great deal about the antidepressant that he took, called Celexa, and he claimed that it extended his orgasms to the difficult to believe length of 45 minutes.
Was it that he took 45 minutes to achieve orgasm, or that he?
Oh, I thought it took like 6 hours to achieve orgasm, but they lasted.
I remember both. It took a long time to get there, but when he got there, it was
substantially. It was like 5 to 10 times what a normal. I mean, wait, even more, way more than that. Even it was a long time, right? Like minutes and minutes of sheer unadulterated pleasure. Was the impression that he gave us? Are you thinking about technology moving in that direction, Colin?
You know, I think, too, that the challenge is to really think about what is technology's new innovation. What can it offer the market that's not being offered currently through either some kind of Eastern thought, kind of Kundalini theory, or drugs or some other type of thing.
Are you asking where is the computer Kama Sutra of tomorrow?
Perhaps. I think it goes beyond that. It's beyond a definite... I mean, maybe there's no language for it yet.
Mm.
But I wonder if this group of international art stars here has anything to say on that.
Well, international art
stars.
That's
Lance number one's department.
Really, Lance number one, indeed. Are you willing to look beyond the penis for a moment and give us your Eastern perspective on...
Are you Lance number one?
I don't think any of you are willing to go on beyond your penis perspective.
We just can't see beyond our penis perspectives. We're trying.
Yeah. I mean, I can smell the stink of the phallocentric worldview in this room,
mm-hmm.
just like the next man, right? But again, the question is, how do we get beyond it?
5,000 Forbes Avenue.
So, Carl, it seems like we're unable to answer your question, shackled as it is by the
typical
emotional, physical, biological priorities of our own genitals.
Well, then I guess that calls for me to hang up now, huh?
Sorry.
this is indeed a profound failure, but I do appreciate your contribution, and I think, you know...
So what happens now, big circle jerk there, or...?
Well, that was, you know, what I was thinking...
Further research.
I think, if I may...
Oh, producer...
Please! Somebody help!
I think my interpretation of the caller's comment, DJ Lift and Separate, is how could you affect both the man and the female, male and female experiences so that they would take place on the same time scale, so that both partners could be satisfied while both satisfying themselves as well.
Really?
Isn't there some sort of machine learning algorithm we could apply?
There has to be.
Maybe that's the question.
There has to be a complicated mix of biofeedback that measures the response of both the man and the woman,
right,
and
right.
using hundreds of microactuators. Applies complex machine learning algorithms to stimulate each partner to the exact degree needed to keep them both in sync.
Exactly. So you've got your work cut out for you, basically.
But I mean,
I'm not sure that's art, though.
Wouldn't it be easier just to listen to your girlfriend and care about her feelings rather than this complex technological solution?
You'd think.
This guy's obviously got someone out there listening.
You could not be more wrong.
Carla, does that sound like a reasonable solution?
I think you're going to have to still work on it, but I'm going to have to get off the line because I,
Are you actually going to go back to having sex?
I just never stop, but yeah.
Really? Wow.
Multitasking.
That's right. That's part of our new world. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that stimulating
absolutely impossible to answer questions.
She's still there.
Bye.
You know, I'm going to have nightmares about this. Wherever I go, if I go to the Giant Eagle, this woman is going to be like, isn't that tomato you're buying too phallocentric?
Well, but it's not clear that such a conscience it would be a bad thing for your behavior.
Okay, Lance, bring on the material.
We've talked about technology and porn, right? And you look doubtful, DJ Lift and Separate, as if that's never been a topic on the show.
That's I give you a look of arousal.
Intrigue. Actually, that does lead to a question. So, although the spousal plug-in unit can be considered a form of pornography, right? Have you guys? I mean, is there sort of an interesting interface between the art world and the porn world, especially when it comes to sort of robotics and other teledildonico-centric works?
By interesting, you mean financially?
Wait. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go on. But I have this great.
Really?
I have an idea that's
going to
transform.
You first, please.
Go, man, go.
Run with it.
This idea is going to transform your art. So, along with the video display head, LCD, whatever the heck it is, mm-hmm. display, could you actually attach tiny cameras at the eye level so that you could actually
make eye contact with your sex partner?
Well, at one level, yes, but I was actually thinking of becoming your sex partner, like seeing them, like having sex with you, like becoming them, seeing what they see through
you could trade
the
faces.
LCD that you're looking at.
It would just be your face, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
One could use a mirror.
Well, one could augment the experience by taking the image and then morphing it, let's say, with the face of a handsome young James Vanderbeek, right? So that DJ Lift and Separate wasn't seeing his own face as he made sweet, sweet love to his boyfriend, but rather a better, prettier version of his own face.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting one. Or like me, you know, 20 years ago when I was still on.
When you were 8?
Optimistic.
Nice clip art. Takes on
true,
that is,
that's
that.
We, could, we could put people in little gladiator outfits.
That's true.
The whole thing. So, no, I was just wondering, again, this is a sort of shot-in-the-dark question, but have you seen, right, because you could think, right, the, you know, robots can dream, why can't they have porn too, right?
Like a really sexy toaster oven. I mean, what are they dreaming about?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a sexiness to certain, you know, schools of design, right?
Yeah. So you got this clipboard, Lance.
What's on it?
Let's hit it.
Well, no, it's just a news story called "Does the Smut Stop Here?" It's basically a news story that talks about. So right, anyone who's ever heard of the internet has probably heard it associated with the idea of pornography, right? If the net has a killer app, and I think DJ Lift and Separate will back me up on this, right? It is indeed pornography, right? You know, that was a very William Shatner-esque pause. Just to put it dead.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, actually the killer app on the internet is not quite pornography, but I think Kirk Spock gay fiction. Whereas pornography is a close second, of course.
Well, isn't Kirk Spock gay fiction? It's just a subset of pornography, right?
I guess,
but
so
it
transcends the genre, right? In some sense. I think it would not be possible without the internet.
Mm. So basically, this article talks about a guy whose company, all it does is it searches up pornography so that it can feed that to web filters, right? So there's this technology, people are very concerned about their kids seeing porn. There's this technology that gets built in internet browsers that stops the kids from visiting certain sites that are filled with pornography, right? Because that's presumably what kids aren't supposed to see. And there's a quote from him where he says, "My database guy came to me and said, our web crawlers and our human searchers are having a hard time finding porn sites," Lance said, right? And anyone who's played with the internet knows that it's almost impossible to avoid them, right, in any reasonable web search. The story goes on, "This did not compute. After all, the number of new porn sites has more than doubled every year since WebSense started filtering in 1994. The company has built a smut site collection several hundred thousand strong. But when Ladd crunched the new data, the trend was clear. Web porn's growth is leveling off, still growing at about 40% annually, but heading south fast. It's a pretty dramatic drop-off," Ladd said. "It looks like the market is starting to become saturated. Maybe people are starting to realize you can't make money by throwing up a web page." So, I mean, this begs the question, right? Is there enough porn on the web now?
Well, there's like a finite number of... Oh, God.
Well, there's an obvious limit. Like, let's say there shouldn't need to be any more than, let's say, 10 web porn sites for each individual human, right? So, really, we don't need more than 30 billion. I mean, there really can't be more than 30 billion porn sites. So, in a sense, this was inevitable, right?
Are we at 30 billion web porn sites already?
I don't think so. I'm just trying to get in. I'm just trying to frame the problem by giving it a good upper bound.
Yeah.
The answer to your question is no. We have not saturated the demand for porn, but what we are seeing here is a real failure of the human imagination. You know, all of these porn sites are like Me Too porn sites. They're either just putting up tons of pictures that they've downloaded from Usenet, or they've got some cheesy, you know, even the more advanced ones have like cheesy models that they hire to like stand around and take a shower or jack off. I mean, we need to move to the next level.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that's the sort of point I was trying to make earlier, where the problem is we've got, you know, however many millions and billions of people on the planet, and they're all having sex more or less the same way.
What is this mysterious next level that you talk about?
Well, that's just it. I mean, I can describe some aspects of the next level, but if I knew the complete picture, you know, I'd be...
You sure as hell wouldn't be sitting here.
Right, I'd be richer than the Sultan of Brunei, the world's richest man.
So go ahead. What are some aspects of the next level?
Well, first of all, it's thinking outside the sexual box. So...
No, and there's a paradigm shift involved too, right?
Mm, exactly. So, you know, we are all about... You know, there's every person has approximately one penis and sort of two or three sort of acceptable orifices, right? And, you know...
Yeah, when you mention it, those numbers do sound low, right?
I mean, right, I mean you know, when you enumerate the actual number, I mean, there aren't that many different things to do. So
you're talking about genetic engineering. You're not talking about consciousness shifting.
Well, genetic engineering, yes, but... Simulating that with surgery and, you know, my suit of 1,000... If you had, like, the suit of 1,000 pieces and penises and someone else is wearing the suit of the 1,000, you know, vaginas or what have you...
Yeah, do the math.
I mean, that's like 1,000 squared interactions, right? You don't have to be a mathematician to see that you're in the...
You're in the zone.
And so, you know, these people that are in polyamorous relationships where there's two or three or five people in a living unit. Imagine, in fact, having sex with, like, a mesh of, like... a million people in the, like, Pittsburgh metropolitan area. I mean, that has never been attempted in the history of humanity. And yet, why not? What resource are we limited by that's preventing, like, you know, like, for example, Hands Across America. That is a perfect example of people who, like, did this pretty amazing thing.
What are you proposing, hand jobs across
America? But it was on cereal. You're talking about parallel, right?
Oh, that's a whole other dimension, the idea of sex. Right?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, in some sense... There are so many dimensions in which you explore this, I'm not even sure what you would do. For example, if you did have hand jobs across America, I mean, it would be interesting to study, for example, what is the sort of propagation delay of the sexual response. Like if, you know, you start jacking off one person on one end, you know, when does the person on the other end actually have their orgasm?
But again, I think you're thinking in serial terms there, right?
Yes. Well...
That doesn't fit the paradigm of the next generation. You know... I mean, it should propagate much faster than that, you know, just this enormous wave of organic flow of orgasm across the nation.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm really looking to a high...
See, what I'm wondering is, because you're talking about a scenario where, I mean, if we're talking about sort of the future, we're talking about, like, sort of, like, wireless network technology, right? We're talking about sort of like infinitely sensitive wearable technology, right? So you're essentially walking around having not several but just one continuous orgasm, right?
Mm. And so we're going to bump up against the limits of the human body, right?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm sort of getting at. I mean, what are those limits? We have no idea, right? I mean, that research clearly has not been done.
Not to be, you know, Pollyanna cheerleader for virtuality, right? But again, I think that the only way to transcend that is to actually plug right into the nerves.
Yeah, well, I think that's where I'm going with this. I think you're right on that. But again, I mean, there are going to be limits. At some point, you're going to be burning out synapses, right?
Hang on there, Jack. I mean, we've put electrodes in, like, rat pleasure centers, right? Where they, you know, they keep hitting the lever.
Oh, yes.
And they forget to eat or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they last for days, right? I mean, they don't...
Yeah, but that was my point, was that the electrodes go directly into the nerves, right? They don't put a little cuff on the rat's penis and manually manipulate it to keep it happy for days, right?
Agreed. So, but you could put an electrode in a human's being's
body. I know, that's what I'm...
So you're talking about shortening the lifespan to days?
Well, so did the rats die because they're getting too much pleasure? Or did they die because they forgot to eat?
Who knows? Who really knows the mind of a rat? But no, presumably they died because they didn't eat, yeah.
Right. So that's, I mean, you know, you'd have to... put that into some sort of food thing into your algorithm.
I mean, it's an IV drip. I mean, it's not a big deal, right?
I mean, we've seen this happen before. I mean, people, like, who do heroin all the time forget to eat, too. I mean, it's not
I forget to eat.
I've never forgotten.
Are you high on art?
Something.
So do we have some viewer questions, actually. Do we have time for a quick one before
Absolutely.
We go?
Absolutely. We got like 3 minutes. For the panel? The panel of women?
Yes, the panel completes control. Well, I mean, they're all addressed to you. I mean, because they are our regular listeners.
I'm convalescing, so maybe the lenses can help me answer.
Okay.
I'm not
so, dear DJ 2000, your romantic asphyxiation with Boyzone intrigues me. I don't know what asphyxiation means here. Who is your favorite member? And what is the least disgusting sexual act that you would not allow him to perform on you or to you? And if there are any straight men on the show, they may answer the same question about Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Well,
is this multiple choice? No.
Really complicated. So I didn't understand the logic of least disgusting act.
No, the point is, I think what they're getting at is, right, so you would allow some member of Boys Under perform many disgusting acts on you, right? Mm-hmm. But at some point, there's a cutoff where you would say, that's too disgusting for me. I won't take it. Right.
Okay.
So there's a set of acts that are too disgusting, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm wondering what's the least disgusting of those disgusting. Of those acts.
Okay.
Yeah, where it's the disgusting acts.
That's easy. Stephen Gately, because he is actually gay and he was outed a couple of years ago.
So that's your favorite member of Poison.
Last year. Yeah, and he's actually very good looking. So that works too.
There are so many cultural references just floating around this room.
No idea.
Boyzone, English boy band.
Yeah, English. Aren't they Irish as well, or just English?
Oh, you know, I don't know. Whatever. I actually don't know.
Oh. Well, if you were frequent listeners to the show, you would have heard them.
But it's like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys.
Yes, yes.
But like they're actually more, I think they're a little bit more musically talented than NSYNC.
How would you know, though?
Well, I mean, to the extent that I can provide an opinion about anyone's music.
Oh, no. Okay. So, you're actually, it's the albums that actually are the evidence, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, right. So, there could be some. Right. Anyway. And the least disgusting thing that I would not permit, I think, is if he required me to dress up as Academy Award winner Shelley Winters and recreate that scene from the Titanic or the Poseidon Adventure where she swims underwater and I think dies and then he would like have sex with my recently dead drowned corpse.
But you'd be happy to dress up as Ellie McBeal's Calista Flockhart, die, pretend to die, and then
Although the amount of I'd have to skip a lot of meals, which would be a hardship for me as well. So that would be a problem.
See, I'm just thinking I just would absolutely, under no circumstances, allow them to play their own music during any sex act. That would be the limit right there.
Are you familiar with the...
No, but you told me what they're like. If they are like these other groups you've mentioned, then I'm clearly going
to
make that.
But they're better. I mean, the point is that it is a boy band, and they were sort of designed to appeal to that demographic, but I think they're actually sort of talented. All right. And I believe the Lances had a comment about... Jennifer Love Hewitt, who has, I believe, if this is true, named her breasts Huey and Dewey. So, no.
I thought they were Abraham and Lincoln.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah, we don't get a whole lot. So again, these cultural references are just going on.
So, okay, for Jennifer Love Hewitt, substitute random hot actress X. Who is really hot?
She's great.
You don't watch Party of Five or the sequel Time of Your Life? You've never seen I Know What You Did Last Summer?
These television shows?
Well, those two are, and then there's a movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer, where she was, you know, in trouble, chased by a killer guy, dude. Okay. Big breasts.
No idea, man.
Like a talking?
This is why you're not having sex, because you don't even, like, understand the axioms of human sexuality.
In order to have sex, I have to watch a lot of bad TV?
No, small amounts of bad TV would probably be.
You have to get hip to the zeitgeist so you can make small talk and, like... And compare all of the women you meet unfavorably to Party of Five body Jennifer Love Hewitt, who is actually I appreciate how attractive she is. She is actually quite cute, although disturbingly large-breasted for her small frame. You know, the time has just flown by. So this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you all for listening. Please tune in next week, Tuesday at 11 p.m.
Terribly sorry.
Where we will stimulate you with even more material related to the sexual macabre. Thank you.
Sexual macabre. We start talking about the sexual macabre.
Whatever. So thank you, Institute.
No names, please.
An Institute for...
Lance 1, Lance 2, and Lance 7. And Lances 4 through 6 were destroyed in a lab accident.
The organization name is Institute for Applied... What is it?
Automotive Research.
Thank you for listening. Thank you all for calling in, and good.